Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm going to do a combined quick rant of truth. Thus, quick rants of truth. This is Tyson Harley. And these things are both just, I've had epiphanies. One is going to be about the real estate market. This is so obvious once you think about it. And the other one's about the economy. And it's so obvious once you think about it. So first, the real estate market. I don't know where you live, but where I live, real estate prices have exploded, like in the last five-ish years. Supposedly around here, this area was featured in some magazine as a, you know, possible good place to invest in real estate, which supposedly then brings down the availability of the houses, because some people aren't sitting on houses to invest in, waiting for the value. But here's the thing. Guys, I want you to think about this. Realtors don't have brain cell number 11 collectively. Collectively. Remember, I've said before that groups of people are infinitely, potentially more stupid than individuals are. It's amazing, the crowd mentality and the crowd low intellect. I said before that, even if you sit on a house for a while, what is the purpose of the realtor? The purpose of the realtor is to grease the wheels of commerce. So if you have housing prices exploding, does that mean people don't actually want houses? Yeah, people want houses. They just want houses at the prices that they could afford them at, right? Like every single year, there's a new bunch of young couples that would like to consider jumping into homes and not renting. And yet what happens in the real estate market? Maybe it's not where you are. A price that is totally arbitrary will be thrown onto a piece of real estate, a house. And then the house will, with that price, set there for 50 and 100 and 150 and 200 days. So how is it that realtors are really greasing the wheel of commerce? Well, because your house is worth that much. Every other place we'd say, the value of the house is dependent on what the market will give for it. And so long as the market is aware, that's the only thing, right? Like, you might not get some prized amount for your collection that is not well publicized for your collection of whatever. I don't know what it might be. It might be old books. It could be, you know, some classic toys from the 50s in incredible condition. If the market is not aware of it, then yes, you may not get that price. And then if you said, well, it's worth what the market will give you, well, you haven't exposed it to the right market. But real estate is all over Zillow, realestate.com, or, you know, whatever it is. All these various places have a realtor.com rather. You know, have these listings. They're available for those who will search. And so if that's the case, and you put up a house, I'm just going to pick a market. It's going to be ridiculous. Okay, let's say in your market 10 years ago, I'm just making up numbers here, just a classic ranch, one of those one stories, has kind of three bedrooms on the end. But, you know, typically that third one, if you don't have three bedrooms, is used as an extra room, only has one, you know, bathroom that's down the hall. It's not kind of the extended ranch. It's not one with a basement. Got about, you know, the range of 1,100 to 1,200, 1,300 feet. Let's say in your market, that classic ranch that's probably built somewhere in the late 50s to the, you know, early 70s or something, was going for $150,000 7 years ago. Well, now it's going for $300,000 275, 255, something like that. I just said 150,000. What did I say, 7-ish years ago? So the realtors are trying to tell you, when you put this house up, you should put it up for in the range of 275. And you know you got it for well underneath that just 10 years ago. So you've made your profit and then some. Now, not considering inflation, but you've made enough to not be upside down on the house, to pay off the house, to have a little bit of a down payment left because you've been paying on the house for 7 years. So you've built up some equity. You're good. You know, you're getting $125,000 just in the most simple math from a house that only cost you $150,000. You're good. But not only that, you do have giant margin here if it's really $275,000. But as soon as it does not sell for $275,000, okay, it's like me trying to put up a 2011 vehicle and asking for $20,000. Okay, guys, that might be for a luxury vehicle, but for a typical sedan, let's say, you know, not 2011, let's go 2006, asking for $20,000, and it's got $175,000 on it. You know why it's not selling? Because I'm not willing to meet where the market will bear. It's that simple. You know where things do sell? On auction type sites where a bunch of people see it, and then it catches market price. Now, you still got to do a decent job there. But again, there's no excuse here. Like, you know, you didn't put up a good advertisement. You know, these commodities, the houses, are available locally for people to look at, available locally for people to find. And so there's zero excuse for that, for those wheels not to be greased and for the prices not to meet in the middle. And so what's really happening is that somehow, because realtors are collectively retarded, like collectively, and you can talk to, because I've got a realtor, you know, and as I've looked at properties recently, I've had this conversation. It's like, I know, right? It's ridiculous. Why should it be, you know, but yet collectively, that's what they do. Collectively, you get a large increase, maybe not where you are, for what you paid for a decent-sized house, just to go a little bit more, unless it's in really bad condition, like a true fixer-upper, like someone couldn't afford their house. And what should really happen is that something, after 100 days, you just simply reduce the price, and it really should be 30 days. Are you trying to sell this house or not? Right? It's not like we're going to sell the house for less than you bought it for, and now you have equity. You're going to be even Steven. I mean, I know not inflation-wise, but even Steven, just mathematically, you'll be even Steven at the very least, even if it's not in very good condition. So you still got your value out of it. Are you trying to sell it or not? And so when I say they're collectively stupid, how are you not advising the person of that? I want you to think about that. What has happened in America, maybe elsewhere, that realtors say, no, we're not trying to sell your house? Do you understand, like, the effect of this? Like, these poor 23, 24-year-old couples that would like to be in a house, they want to be in a house, but they're not in the market. Now, that's like saying you can't be in the car market. Do you get it? Do you understand? Like, you can always be in the car market. You can find something that you can afford. And so you will have a car if you want it for 95% of Americans, right? You'll be able to find one. But in America right now, and again, I could be wrong. Maybe I only have regional knowledge, but I expect that this affordability is nationwide, or rather this phenomenon on affordability that makes it not affordable is nationwide. In America, you can have hundreds to thousands to tens of thousands of people who are now family age. You know, they're building a family. They intend to build a family. Now it's time for a house, not an apartment. They want a yard. They want 2.3 kids. They want the dog, and they would like to go into a house. And instead, They can't because the price does not meet. You've got people wanting to buy and wanting to sell, and we can't meet in the middle. Can you imagine trying to sell your car and you're going, I've been trying to sell it for a year. Are you trying to sell it or are you just kind of sitting on it? Okay, now a house you're definitely trying to get rid of or you wouldn't have put it on the market. And it is not even rare to go find houses that are 50 days, 100 days, 250 days on the market, unless they're just that perfect condition. And sometimes don't go as long, but honestly, they can stay as long as well. You know, if they're 5 years old, 10 years old, and somebody rich bought them. But if you're going to what most people who are market entry, you know, where you're going to be looking at a 30-year-old-ish house or older, and you just hope to have something that, hey, maybe it's your first house, so it's not in great shape, but you're not going to have to put $30,000 into it. You're not going to have to live with the eyesores of it every single day. You know, those prices are out of affordability. And it's only due to the fact that realtors are acting like that's the price when it's not. So what drives that? I'm telling you, just like HR and all this stuff about DEI. Well, that's what you do in HR now because I saw it in the HR manual. It's what they say in the conferences. This is the type of collective stupidity, just the absolute hypnotism in the real estate market. And what's bad is every fourth person and their brother is trying to do a real estate agent as a side hustle, and you'd make money if there was traffic and volume. Like many people want to, if there's traffic and volume, wouldn't mind buying and selling a house about every 3 to 6 years. Right? And the great thing is when that happens is that new people come in, they're more likely to, you know, go ahead and fix it up, you know, add some new things, or you're about to sell it, you go ahead and fix it up. And yet these houses are unaffordable. Can you imagine? It's as though you could say, well, we don't have a market for food. And I know that's an exaggeration, but of course you do. What are your food prices? So let's say this. Here's a good analogy. In town A, that's 15 miles away from town B. Now, these towns are just going to represent different general conditions and approaches over time for the housing analogy. But just bear with me. I'm going to put them rather than difference in time or difference in, you know, just parallel universe or whatever it is. These are just differences in geography. In town A, all the grocery stores are sane. Therefore, prices are affordable-ish, just like they are. Who knows what the hell happened with meat? That's another uniform elite. Just we're going to make the prices more. Don't get me started. But they are what they are. They're what you expect. I forgot what I said, but let's say town A. Now, let's say town B. Town B, because you're in town A, so you have to travel to town B. And town A in your town, for whatever reason, somebody has a monopoly on grocery stores. And you go there and you pay $17 for a loaf of bread. You pay $30 for a loaf of bread. The crazy thing is that you can pay $7 and $8 for a loaf of bread right now. So I've got to exaggerate that even more. $17 and $30 for a loaf of bread. You try to get even 16 ounces of ground beef, and it's $35. And then what happens is the monopoly grocery store says, yeah, there's just not a market for food over here. Just, you know, nothing sells. We've got our prices. That is the price it's worth. But nothing sells. So there's just not very many food transactions over here. I know that sounds like a little too simplified, but so what do? They go over to where it makes sense, and they go to town B, and they go grocery shopping over there. Of course the market's there. Of course the market's there. So the analogy is, yeah, the market's there, but there's no alternative for these people right now. If you would just lower the prices, then every single year, somebody wants to enter into the housing market. And what keeps them renting Or worse, when I say powers that be and those motherfuckers that need to be hung by 17 trees. These motherfuckers and the World Economic Forum. I'm so fucking tired of Trump being too stupid to understand that he's doing the bidding of these assholes. I'm going to stop the war in Ukraine. Well, that's a lot of people have died since, and you've continued to finance it. I'm going to stop the Israel. Okay, well, a lot of people have died and you've continued to finance it and literally use some of our weapons. And now you're involved with regime change. So that's fucking great. These World Economic Forum motherfuckers want the world to be scarce. Do you get it? And it's just easier as they monopolize in real estate. These BlackRock motherfucking assholes behind who knows how much real estate now. Hey, Why would we want them to use the space that America has and have independence and self-serving, you know, they're able to just independently have what they need in their little plot of land, when instead we can put them in condos, charge them just as much or more for the, quote, the, amenities at the condo and the townhomes and the housing association has, and they can be more trapped and easily more controllable. They don't have land, and you can literally fit more of them on the piece of land. Like, why would we want someone to have the typical 10,000 square foot lot? That's pretty typical around here where you live. That might be some giant estate, I don't know. You know, 100 by 100 lot, and then probably not including utility easements. Fairly typical here. When on that same 10,000 square feet, we can make almost all of it a three-story building, and we can fit 10 renters here easily and just get rid of the yard. And that's what they're doing. Realtors are too fucking dumb to know what the fuck they're doing, and what the fuck they're doing is mucking up the wheels of commerce instead of greasing them, because collectively people are fucking stupid. So you would say, well, why don't, I got an idea. What if we just try to sell it and then the transaction would be over and we could look for the next transaction? And, you know, people would be moving into homes and these homes would be vital. We'd have a vital real estate market instead of houses that sit there forever. I'm going to give you an example. So personally, my example is, would I want to maybe have the next size up for a multi-generational home as my mother gets older, just because, you know, our society is rapacious financially when it comes to the older generation. We absolutely and positively abuse them financially. We take advantage of them. It's really about the same thing as the beekeeper. It's just that nobody gets punched in the face by Jason Statham, even though they should. Oh, I know they want to size down because now property taxes are getting to be more every year to just stay in the house. So how the fuck are they even supposed to maintain it when the property taxes themselves are thousands of dollars a year? How are you supposed to maintain and add things to your house when just to fucking have the home, you have to pay thousands of dollars? And then on top of it, then due to that, the older generation moves out of their house to smaller facilities, and those smaller facilities, unless they just move to a small home, then cost thousands of dollars a month just to live in with no equity. It's just a way. So we fuck our older, our elderly in our society. We fuck them. We absolutely and positively victimize them. Charging them more, let alone if you go to, I'll say exclusive, it's not. It's just exclusive and only that the older folks live there. There's nothing incredibly fancy about the facilities or anything. No better than just a decent apartment complex in some city in California that, you know, has a gate on it. And you've got, you know, probably some facilities like a clubhouse somewhere in there. You've got, you know, maybe a workout facility or a pool somewhere in there that everybody can use. Otherwise, it's just apartments. But once it's elderly folks that way, you're talking $2,000 to $5,000 to $6,000 a month. When not just 30 years ago, you would say that would be rich, like, to even bring that income in. But that would be an okay income at the moment for, depending on where you were in life 30 years ago. $24,000 wouldn't be awful. Now, I'm not saying it would be great, and I'll lean more towards the, you know, 40 and 50 and 60 years ago, and certainly then, and let alone $3,000 a month or $5,000 a month or $6,000, $72,000 30 years ago and 50 years ago. You know, that's a pretty penny. And now it's what it costs for them just not to have to live to some 23-year-old who might be bringing somebody in from the club, who knows the background, who knows what the fuck they're going to do. So with that, I'm like, well, do I, you know, maybe go multi-generational for my mother as she gets older? So without giving you numbers, I'll just say that what I paid for my house, which is a pretty standard, great bachelor home, but nothing extravagant, just nice features, exactly the right size you'd feel like you want as a bachelor home with, this is plenty of space as long as I don't just puke a bunch of collections into this and just stack things from top to the bottom like some people do tend to do. But other than that, plenty of space to roam, you know, room for guest bedroom, office, so on and so forth. So if I want to move into that place, it just has kind of, I don't know, somehow the amenities are about the same, but they don't need to be twice as much. You just need kind of a what I have plus a little bit more so that my parent is not like basically living on top of me, because I'm used to living alone, but I would like them to kind of have their own little area, maybe their own, you know, possible semi-kitchen area. It's going to cost me three times, very typically, 2.5 to 3 times what it cost me to buy a home barely 5 years ago, just to get that little next step up. I'm not talking about twice as much room. I'm talking in the range of 40% more room or 30% more room or, you know, maybe 50% more room, something like that, 60% more room. You know, 25 to 60% more room is all I'm talking. That's going to cost me in the range of, and I don't know what I just said, but I'm just going to kind of work it through my head again. Unless I look at something I have to put a lot of work into, or I'm going to lose some, you know, features I have right now. Like maybe that feature is a garage, or maybe that feature, you know, is just being in a home and not a townhome, right? Just being in a home and not a regular standalone home and not a duplex. If I don't lose those features, and I go, I'm just trying to also then make this a little bit more livable, or if I don't go, okay, now I'm going to have to really, this is going to be an eyesore, I have to, you know, somehow be okay with these eyesores. If I go just similar condition, but those extra features, rather the extra room with a slight extra features, yeah, we're talking twice as much money as I spent not even 5.5 years ago. Twice as much and probably 2.5 times as much. I would say really outside of the absolute like perfect find, like if you can get a hold of your real estate agent that day and put an offer in, it's going to be that would be 2.25 what I paid. Easy. Okay, now if we're talking about something that you know, is going to stay on the market a little bit and I got some time, we're probably talking 2.5 times the amount of money that I spent, and up to 3 times in less than 5 years. And how can that be? And that would be great if it's a boom place. Some places boom. And then we're going to get to our next rant of truth. But now these are really scales of truth. I get it. So call it a dual scales of truth. How can that be that there it's supposedly worth 2.5 to 3 times as much if it will then set on the market for 100 days, 200 days, 300 days. You think that person wanted to sell a house only if it took that long to sell? And then we say, oh, well, what market is that even? I always get that mixed around. It is a buyer's market or is it a seller's market? Would you say it's a seller's market just because the prices are high when they can't get their house offloaded? So for my example, where I live, not a big college, but You know, it has some, we have some educational institutions here that at least feed the idea of people being new young professionals. And if you've got, and with that, it feeds the idea too, again, not a boom town by any means, that, hey, since I got my degree here, if I can get, I might as well look here. That's where I'm getting the internships and so on. Maybe I'll live here. And the thing is, when I tell you this, this is a more affordable than many places. Now, I'm not saying I could have bought the house as inexpensive 5 years ago. But when I tell you 2.25 times as expensive, you know, if I got, like, on that day in the perfect find, otherwise going to be 2.5 to 2.75 as expensive for that next size up, you know, fractionally size up house again, I can easily go 30 miles toward the city and forget about it. It's 3.5 times, 3.25, 3.5, 4 times as much. And how can that be if it stays on the market? Really, think about that. And think about what kinds of sons of bitches who deserves to be burned at the stake for their fucking blood rituals and their insistence on controlling the world instead of allowing people to be prosperous are somehow letting the necklace wave in front of the realtor. You will put the property on the market for a price so expensive that it will set on the market. You will. So here's the thing. If you have a fixer-upper, like where I'm hoping to find, just like, hey, if I saw this on the exact first day, maybe I could put in the very first bid and we could buy the thing. The price I'm looking at, these things are major fixer-uppers. Like, it should be $30,000 to $60,000 less. And my real estate market isn't as expensive as yours. And you'd think at least, well, the fixer-uppers, like, you are trying to sell that 05 vehicle, is what it is, bro. You're just trying to get some money out of it. And let alone it's real estate, it doesn't depreciate. So can you imagine you're trying to sell that 05 vehicle and you can get most of the money out of it that you bought it for? Why would you not just sell it? I'm just happy I can get the price I bought it for. Kind of insane that I can. So it's shenanigans. It is not free market in the real estate market. It's simply not. And it's so funny to me how entire sets of people can go, yep, that's what we do. And then it takes a fresh brain to go, yeah, but does that fucking make sense? Aren't you trying to get the house sold for the person? You trying to stand for some artificial price setting? Like, which is more important for you? Because you don't get paid until it sells anyway. It's just more work for you than to constantly, you know, and if you're a buyer's real estate agent, you got to look at more and more houses. And then hopefully, eventually, they finally fucking bother to buy one. When if the prices were right, you'd look at, you know, 3 to 10. And if the prices were right, that'd be that. And you could go on to your next client and get a transaction done. But instead, you and your entire office just stands in for the idea that these prices are very expensive. Which is bullshit. And I'll say another thing, too. So I talked to a real estate agent here. Said something like, like I said, because of the investments, then people are waiting out and for the price, and so it's not as available. It's investment property, like maybe people who don't even live here, and they're like, you sit on this for 5 years, you'll be able to sell it for 3 times what it's worth. Yeah, but I'm talking about the ones where they're trying to sell. Right? So if anything, if there's less houses available, then, you know, there are buyers that want those houses. So when you are trying to sell a house, it should be hotcake city. So, ladies and gentlemen, how isn't it? Hello? Hello? All right, guys, I guess I'll split up this Scales of Truth and the next related topic, since it is already 30 minutes. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Fucking real estate, man. Jeesh. Anyway, yeah, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Ha ha ha! Why did I talk after? Okay, bye!